In the news update for May the 17th, 2022, on this Tuesday early morning edition, part two, continuing on with Sunday Night Live news, and we'll pick up with the War Room coming up with Owen Schroeder. Keep it right here. We're on XM Radio. We're also on on the internet, and also on all podcasting venues where you can consume our content. Our podcast name is Top Headlines National and International News Stories. That's how you write it, folks. If you want to make a donation, go to download the Snapchat app and put in our ID. You can put it in there, search for it, and you can make a donation by simply typing Michael. That's the cash sign first, then Michael, that's capital M, small I, K-E-L, and then DeSilvis will be capital D, small E, capital S, I-L-V-I-S, and that's how you write our user ID to make a donation to us through the Cash App portal. Thank you for those that are making donations and sharing our content. We'll be right back with some more information.
Car, and my rear view mirror is like a infotainment center, just watching people react to the bumper sticker.
Yeah.
It's really great. I mean, but I've been listening, and I've been a customer and listener for about 13 years now, and I really appreciate y'all. It's awesome what y'all do with Blaze, and I'm getting more into it as time goes by, as we see all this stuff happening. But I did want to give you a scripture concerning, you were talking about the shooting and all this stuff happening. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give a scripture. It's Isaiah 59:19.
Isaiah 59:19.
And it says, so shall they fear in the name of the Lord from the west in his glory, from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord shall raise up a standard against them. So, you know, I think we should always keep the God's word in mind during these times, because it's powerful, right? I've been a Christian since 1991, and in downtown, I'm pretty evangelical, and I think the info wars and the gospel kind of go hand in hand these days. Really, you know, they're kind of merging together.
Well, I mean, we say it's an information war, which reminds me of another book that Dr. Noble wrote called Battle for Truth, along those same lines. And so basically, it's an information war. We're trying to battle the propaganda. We're trying to get to the truth. And those that care to get to the truth, those that care to not be deceived, are very aware that there is a spiritual element of people that are actively trying to deceive us, people that are actively trying to take the place of God. So I do think that that's why there are so many InfoWars fans that are also spiritual and believe in God, because we care to know the truth. We value the truth, you know?
Amen, amen. And it's actually fun. You know, sharing that downtown, I've met the people in New Orleans, they're great people, and they are waking up on a large scale. It's a great deal. I appreciate you guys, and maybe I'll get to... I had one other thing. I talked to the call screener, mm-hmm. and I told him I wanted to show Alex and you a piece of our artwork I did recently. I don't know if it's possible. I can send you the link. You know, it's just one particular piece of artwork, and it ties into what's happening. I'm an artist. I've been an artist all my life, and my art career just kicked in recently with all this stuff going on.
Yeah. Okay. Make sure that you call back and get us the link to your artwork, and maybe we can show it later in the show. We'll see if we can make that happen. Thank you for your phone call, Greg. Enjoy talking to you. Let's go to Lori in Pennsylvania, because I know she's been waiting a long time. Lori?
Hi, Christy. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. First of all, you addressed something earlier in the show about Trump, like what are your feelings on him? I voted for him twice, and unfortunately I can't back him anymore. I won't vote for him. He's still praising the shots, and he cut the red tape, and he went along with Dr. Fauci and Okay, so therefore reason I will never vote for Trump ever again, and that's how I feel about him. And
I certainly understand your feelings on that, because there is a lot of disappointments. You know, he said he was going to drain the swamp, but then he continues, it seems, to surround himself with swamp creatures. And then I was going to say, when it was interesting talking to people even at that American Freedom Tour, and all of them were completely puzzled about his wanting to push Dr. Oz, you know, who is just a huge red flag and complete fake and phony, is you can see. But I mean, this is something I struggle with. You say you will not vote for him because of these concerns, but, you know, what are your thoughts on that whole concept of lesser two evils? You know, a vote, if he is the pick and you don't vote for him, and it's against someone far more evil or worse, like Biden, you know, isn't that kind of a vote for that person? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I'm just hoping the people, you know, see through Trump. And, you know, the reason why people are getting injured and murdered is from these shots is maybe, hopefully, the Ron DeSantis or Rand Paul, maybe they'll get the primary. I mean, we can only hope that we pick someone else this time.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, he still has a lot of supporters, Trump, but I'm just hoping if he keeps praising the shots, I mean, hopefully some of them will wake up and just vote for someone else during the primary.
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone would argue with the fact that President Donald Trump has, you know, a little issue with pride and arrogance. And so I do think that maybe he does see that the shot maybe wasn't such a great idea, but yeah, he can't not say, like, I'm responsible for Operation Warp Speed. Like, it's like he can't give that up. But hopefully he wakes up, or like you said, maybe somebody else will enter the picture. Who knows?
Yeah, and I have a challenge for you to do. My husband and I, we did a challenge. If you go on BitChute and you put in Bluetooth vaccine, there's been people doing cemetery challenges. And my husband and I, we went to the cemetery not too long ago, and we looked for freshly dug graves, and we scanned for new devices, and their number comes up.
Weird.
Even if they're 6 feet under, and it's actually true. If you scan for new devices and you look for freshly dug graves, now Bill Gates was on with Anderson Cooper, and he says, oh, yeah, that's a conspiracy theory. I'm not tracking anyone, but I guarantee you that these Pfizer shots, they're hooked up to the Bluetooth. You know, so like if you're...
How do you know it's not just picking up something else nearby?
Yeah, if you go to the cemetery, because it's just me and my husband in the middle of the cemetery all by ourselves with thousands of dead people, and we go to a freshly new grave, and when we scan for a new device, and a new number pops up, a Bluetooth number.
That is
so
weird.
So number one, you know they were murdered from the shots, and they're hooked up to the Bluetooth even when they're 6 feet under.
Well, that's an interesting challenge. We might just have to check that out. Thanks for the suggestion. I'll see what I can find out about that. Thank you for your phone call, Lori. Thanks for waiting as well. I'm going to get back to your phone calls, but wanted to cover, since we're on the topic, so we're talking about just how bad Biden is. I'm sure many of you, you're on top of it. Our audience is always on top of it. So I'm just preaching to the choir here. But I'm sure you all heard about how the White House has now flat out lied in their tweet about the vaccine. So on Thursday, the White House patted itself on the back. Oh, but not just that. On Thursday, the White House patted itself on the back once again, bragging about 8.3 million jobs and the fastest decline in unemployment to start a president's term in history. The natural reaction to the government's job killing pandemic restrictions being lifted. By the way, this is from Zero Hedge. But wait, they also lied, claiming that when Biden took office, millions were unemployed and there was no vaccine available, which is categorically false. More than 1 million doses per day were being administered when Biden took office under Trump administration's Operation Warp Speed. You could see the Biden getting his shot in December. It's just total, complete false. And well, the admin can count on Twitter not to label their tweet false or misleading, even though there was so much evidence. Even CNN called them out on it, and they did issue a correction the next day. But here's my issue. It's all semantics with them. They're always play with their words. When the news gets something wrong now, you know, it used to be shameful to get something wrong, and you would print a retraction. You would have to retract something. Well, now it's just an editor's note, or they just edit and they never even acknowledge it. So we have that. And then in this case, instead of saying like, yeah, that was false, that was misinformation, you know, hello, disinformation government governance board, they say they misstated. So it wasn't a lie, they just misstated. We previously misstated that vaccines were unavailable in January 2021. We should have said they were not widely available. But this is the thing, they always, I mean, even with the fact checks, they it's never just true or false anymore. It's mostly true, mostly false. And they just play around with words. And it's, oh, shockingly, always for your own benefit. But this, I mean, some of this stuff does seem to be waking people up. Jury's out on Elon Musk. I don't know what to believe about him. Certainly exposed the left and how much they want control and how much they have been favored on Twitter. So that's the good thing that Elon Musk did, whether he intended to or not. But still not sure if I trust him. What do you think? Do you think he was really red-pilled or I don't know, but it does seem that Jeff Bezos is even getting red-pilled or at least acknowledging the truth in some fashion. This is from the Liberty Daily. He lashed out at Biden regime's economic policy a second time in many days. He recently lambasted the Biden regime by calling out disinformation from the so-called president himself, and he hit them again on Sunday. Says, in fact, the administration tried hard to inject even more stimulus into an already overheated inflationary economy, and only Manchin saved them from themselves. Inflation is a regressive tax that most hurts the least affluent. Misdirection doesn't help the country. So that's Jeff Bezos calling them out. And being a wokester, Bezos was hammered in the comments for siding with Joe Manchin and Republicans, but even the wokest of the woke generally cannot deny the inefficacy of the Biden regime's economic policy, of the absolute failure Democrats on Capitol Hill have displayed in the last 16 months, but some are still in denial. So maybe something that you wouldn't have expected from him, from Jeff Bezos. And then you have, wondering if this is waking up anybody that has half a brain left. The Democrats are attacking oil companies and introducing a bill to control gas prices. They're accusing them of just keeping prices raised and using inflation as an excuse. And of course, the energy giants deny and they attribute the price hikes to the war in Ukraine. Despite the Democratic Congress members' accusations, companies have argued that not just the lack of supply worldwide due to the war in Ukraine, but hey, also the Biden administration's omission of the shutdown of the Keystone XL pipeline, as well as the most recent cancellation of oil and gas lease sales in Alaska. I mean, this is insane. Like, how is this not waking people up? It physically pains me now to fill up my gas tank. I've never in my life paid so much for gas. It's disgusting. And then you read, like, after spending like $100 to fill your gas tank up, or nearly $100, then you read, like, the next day, now Biden's taking it a step further and also shutting down more domestic resources. How can anyone not see this? How can anyone that is a diehard Biden fan be like, gosh, this is really hurting my wallet? Maybe I should reconsider. It's insane. And then also in the media malfeasance that you saw, and you can share on Bandup video, I talked a little bit about this whole 2,000 mules. It's crazy that even Fox News wouldn't let Dinesh D'Souza talk about it. What is happening? What is going on that they can't even talk about it on Fox News, and they seemed uncomfortable talking about it on other platforms that you thought were on our side, right? But anyways, how much more evidence? To be honest, I almost didn't watch this. I almost didn't watch the 2,000 Mules because in my mind I'm like, okay, but who cares? Nothing's being done. So why do I need even more evidence that this was complete? Bad word, bleep show. I mean, when nothing is gonna be done, I mean, that's how pessimistic I've gotten at this point, sorry. But then here's more evidence. The Gateway Pundit, based on thorough review of election regulations, not a single voting system testing lab used in the 2020 election was accredited based on the law. And this goes very deep into it. It shows the documents that talk about how it is required and how things need to be updated every 2 years, and they weren't. They need to be signed by the chairman the specific one, and they weren't. So they're bringing the receipts, they're bringing the evidence, because how many times have we heard There's no evidence. This was the safest and securest election ever. There's absolutely no evidence. And then you bring all of the documents out, all of the evidence, and they still say this. It's mind-boggling and it's mind-numbing and it's so frustrating. These accreditations were not signed by the chair of the commission. They should not exceed 2 years, and yet the EAC omits any effective through date in these documents, and it goes on and on. So there's so much evidence, including the 2000 mules, but again, what will be done? Will anything ever be done about this? I don't know. It's very frustrating. So let's go back to your phone calls. How about I get beat up? Because thanks to my husband ratting me out, Jefferson from Virginia, what you got for me?
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Please be nice to me. I see that you want to talk to me about Candy Crush.
Well, how is your addiction going every evening with Candy Crush? Have you gotten over it?
I'll have you know that I spend every day in the Word. I spend every day listening to probably 4 hours of podcasts. If I want one little, can I have one tiny guilty pleasure where I can be thinking and crushing candy at the same time?
Sure. But I asked you to do me one favor one night of the week, didn't I? What was it?
One favor one night of the week?
Yes, you need to go to a website instead of going to Candy Crush. I need you to go to usnaturalborncitizen.com.
Naturalborncitizen.com.
Usnaturalborncitizen.com. So we can make the case and all understand that Kamala Harris is illegally in office. All this past week, Alex was telling us we need to impeach Joe Biden. I keep saying we have to have a crime for them to have committed. Right, it has to be high crimes for us to impeach Biden. Well, the crime is Kamala Harris. She's not a natural born citizen. They're all in violation of their oath to protect the Constitution. So all of those elected officials in Washington we hate so much are violating their oath by allowing her to be the vice president. So we have to have a groundswell. We need the whole country to become informed that they have been disinformed about Kamala Harris. Academia and the news media and big tech have all conspired to make us not understand what a natural born citizen is. A natural born citizen is a citizen who has two parents that are citizens, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's very clear. That's what the intent of the founders was when they said, you need to be a natural born citizen to be the president of the United States. The 12th Amendment told us the vice president has to have the same qualifications as the president. So to be a natural born citizen does not mean you're born inside the country. It means you have parents who are citizens. Kamala has zero, none. She had no parents that were citizens. So we have to deprogram ourselves. We're all believing the Obama deception.
That's the thing. Because of the whole birther thing and all that, like, if you even raise a question anymore, they bury you and they call you racist and all this stuff. What is your thought on the Obama thing? You think that was a bunch of bonky as well?
Obama had a mother who was a U.S. citizen. So he's a natural citizen of the United States. His father allegedly was Kenyan, which was part of the British Empire at the time. So he would also be a dual citizen and a British subject if Mr. Obama was his father.
Mm-hmm.
But even Alex Jones is aware of that Frank Marshall Davis is actually Barack Obama's father. So Barack Obama is like a covert natural born citizen. He actually has two U.S. citizen parents, but none of us acknowledge that. No, none of us realize that.
Mm-hmm.
We all are believing the lie that Barack Obama Sr. was his father.
Mm-hmm.
Frank Marshall Davis was his father. So they're using the Barack Obama deception, the psyop that he was born in Hawaii. That's what makes him a citizen. That's what makes him a natural born citizen. His birthplace being Hawaii, proven by his birth certificate. That was all a psyop. The people that created that issue created it for the very purpose to make the 90% of the population believe that location of birth, i.e. Hawaii, has something to do with natural born citizenship. It has nothing to do with natural born citizenship, but it made the public believe something that wasn't true.
Right.
That was the whole point. And I'm saying, if you go to a U.S. natural born citizen, they will explain this to everybody that goes to this website, what the agenda is to try to get, here's what happened. Kamala Harris is a 14th Amendment citizen. If 14th Amendment citizens are allowed to be president, that means they're equal to naturalized immigrant citizens. It says they're right in the 14th Amendment that a 14th Amendment citizen, a birthplace citizen, someone born in the country to non-citizens, is exactly equal to a naturalized immigrant. If Kamala can be president or vice president, then it would be logical to say that someone like Ted Lieu, who is an immigrant child, could be president as well because they're exactly equal. It's a sliding, slippery slope. They're trying to get rid of the protection that's saying someone needs to be raised by U.S. citizen parents. That's the whole point of saying you have to be born to U.S. citizen parents. But you're raised as a U.S. citizen by U.S. citizens. That's the whole point of it. Is if you don't become an adult immediately upon birth inside the country, you don't do anything to use your citizenship until you're like 18. So they're saying U.S. natural citizen is either one parent or two parents, both being citizens. You're a natural citizen if your parent, if you have a bloodline that attaches to the country. Mm-hmm. You're a native citizen. There's a U.S. There's a SCOTUS ruling, a Supreme Court ruling. It's called Wong Kim Ark. And if you look that up on the internet, the summary of the case will tell you that Wong Kim Ark was ruled to be a natural born citizen. That is a falsehood in big tech, academia, and the news media. The actual ruling says that he's a native, not a natural, a native, right? Native means you're born in the country. Natural means you have parents that were citizens. That's the
So we've been getting it all wrong, you're saying, this whole time.
But on purpose, yes. They have programmed us to believe something that's not true. When some anchor baby is born inside the country to a non-citizen, everybody goes, oh, that child could one day be president. And we all believe it because, you know, it's like the dream.
Well, I mean, based on my point before, you know, we were given all this actual evidence that things weren't legal. I mean, at the very minimum, things weren't legal or lawful when it came to our 2020 election. But nothing's being done about it. So what makes you think that anything will be done about this?
Well, first we have to get everybody aware of what the stakes are. If you swear an oath to uphold the Constitution, and then you allow yourself to be misled into doing something like allowing her to be vice president when she's not eligible, you have to step down too. Okay, so the stakes are very, very high here. If we go to all our representatives and say, this is your last chance, tell me what you think a natural born citizen is. And the Republicans all say, both parents citizens. And all the Democrats say, born inside the country. Then we can get rid of the Democrats in one fell swoop because they're all in violation.
I'm all for different tactics. Thank you for your phone call, Jefferson. Got to go to break. Appreciate the call. I do need to get to other phone calls. We got AR from Colorado. We got Andrew from New York and many others. Going to get to you in the last break. Christy Lee in for Owen Schroyer tonight, giving his voice a break. We were all hands on deck covering the American Freedom Tour, Trump rally. I was on the inside and Alex was screaming at people outside. You can see those videos on band.video. But here's a video that I haven't uploaded yet that you haven't seen. Me talking to some of the speakers, including Sheriff Mark Lamb. I'm going to take, please stay on the line if you're holding, because I'm going to come to you next, particularly Andrew in New York. You will be after this because I do ask a question about your topic that you want to talk to me about. So take a look at this video of me talking to some of the speakers at the Trump rally.
I place what I want to memorize on pieces of furniture in my house. Then when I want to recall the data, I just mentally walk through the house again and recite what's on the furniture.
That's so fascinating. So how in the world does this relate to politics?
Well, I think I'm here. I'm at this event for two reasons. You know, or a couple reasons, I think. Number one, I'm a veteran of the war in Afghanistan. So I think the patriotism angle is where I fit in. So I told them about my service and then how I memorized everybody who died in the war in Afghanistan, and I write it out on a wall. So that was a large part of what I shared here today. I think there was another part was they just wanted entertainment. They wanted somebody to go and memorize 100 names in the audience and repeat it. But also, I tied in, you know, if we're going to advance the conservative causes, we need to build relationships. How do we build relationships? We build relationships by remembering people's names and faces. And so that's kind of how we all tied it together at the end of the day.
We always look forward to your tweets, you know, the snarky, the humor. It's great. So what are your thoughts on this possible Elon Musk takeover? And does that give you hope or do you have concern?
No concern at all. I think the guy's great. I honestly don't know where he stands. I think Elon's probably right down the middle. I think he's good on both sides. I think he's more good on the right side than the left side. But I love what he's doing. I love the fact that I want to reach out to him. Elon, come on, dude. Let's make some good movies together. You know, I mean, I do movies that would be chump change for you. That you'll get your money back with me. I don't lose my investors' money. But I love what he's doing. I love the fact that he's definitely not afraid to put himself out there. I was surprised he was on SNL. It's the first time I've ever watched SNL in probably 10 years, just to watch him. But
it kind of stopped being funny.
It's been funny a long time ago. It did, which is really unfortunate. They need to go back to what they did back in the mid-70s with the original cast.
I don't know how they can even do jokes anymore because everybody is so hypersensitive at this point. Like,
That's just the thing. It's crazy. You know, we live in a world right now where everybody's looking to be offended by something. You know, there was a movie that Marlon Brando did years ago. Was it Born with One? I can't remember the title of it now, but Motorcycle Gang. And an older gentleman asked a younger Marlon Brando, goes, what are you fighting against? He goes, what do you got? You know, so he was just looking for anything to battle, and it's just ridiculous.
No, because you love the law and the rule of law, what is it like to see so many people flooding across our borders, and now we have a baby formula shortage, and that formula is being shipped to the border? What gives?
Well, it's frustrating. It's frustrating to watch because we see the border crisis firsthand. And my message to Americans is this is not an Arizona problem. This isn't a Texas problem. This is an America problem. What happens in our backyards today will be in your front yards tomorrow. And that includes the humans that are being trafficked in here by the cartels and the drugs like methamphetamine and fentanyl that are being trafficked in. If we don't stop it, this will bring America to its knees. The fentanyl alone is just so dangerous. And so I would hope that Americans would see the importance of protecting our borders, because our government certainly doesn't. They want to protect Ukraine's borders and send money over there. And it's such a slap in the face to not only us and law enforcement, but frankly to all the American people, that they're not committed to protecting our borders while this trafficking of humans and drugs continues to be pervasive along there.
Okay, last question. I'm a former traditional news anchor who went independent because I didn't think things were reported fair and I thought important things were ignored. Right now, at the end of this month, they are looking at doing a World Health Organization treaty that would essentially give away our sovereignty. Do you think that there's other people in the military or in law enforcement that will not stand by and watch this happen? Meanwhile, the news isn't even talking about it.
Yeah, first off, kudos to you for being a true journalist and getting out and wanting to say the truth. I do believe that there are sheriffs and law enforcement officials across this country, military, who will stand up for what is right. We're seeing it more and more every day, and I hope that I give other sheriffs courage to stand up for what is right and to stand up for the people. In the end, the sheriffs will be the last line of defense for freedom, for this country, for the Constitution, because they can do whatever they want in the WHO. But in my county, we're going to do it. We're going to follow the Constitution. That's what matters.
The liberal agenda is trying to destroy the Christian faith by outlawing our presence in public. They're pushing the other faiths. They're okay with, you know, if a Muslim speaks out against abortion, people say that's their right to do it. If a Buddhist speaks out against abortion, that's their right to do it. If a Christian speaks out against abortion, they scream separation between church and state, because it's a lie built up by the liberal agenda. When Thomas Jefferson said that, he did not say that. He was responding to a question that was sent to him in a letter. And the Baptist Association that sent him a letter said, we have a new Baptist Association. I'm going to paraphrase. We have a new Baptist Association. Will the state get involved with our association? Will it affect what we're doing? Thomas Jefferson said in response to that, no, you are okay, you are free, you are to do whatever you want to do, because there is a separation between church and state. That's exactly how it was initially created, but then it was misinterpreted years later. My point is, the founding fathers never intended for the church to be silent by the state. Never. No, absolutely not.
So many of the Christian faith are like, okay, we see evil on display. We see globalists. We see World Economic Forum. We see them taking off. This seems like the last days. So how much can we fight against this if this is something that God has allowed and these are indeed the last days?
Well, ask that question to Noah, right? When God told him that it was going to rain, Noah did everything he could to go out and trying to save as many people. They didn't believe him. He said that it's going to rain. They thought he was crazy. He said the door is going to shut, and when they did, they're not going to open. Get on the boat, get on the boat. Nobody listened. Same thing goes for so many men of God. Lot, for example, when Lot was trying to save Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was like, the Lord was like, I'm going to destroy that wicked place. It's done. It's over with. But Lot begged, can I go and find people? And so he tried to go out and find as many people as possible. And ultimately, he was only able to find few. Even his own wife, at the very end, turned back and looked at the city and turned it to salt. And so my point is, even though we know Revelation is going to come to pass, your children, your grandchildren's lives are still at stake. We need to save as many people to Jesus Christ before that time comes. Ultimately, in the end, we still win because Jesus comes back with all power in his hand. And the Bible says that the government shall rest on his shoulders. So it is our obligation right now, your obligation, to be a voice to the people, to make sure that we tell the truth right where we are, right in the thick of it. Don't be just a light bulb in a room full of lights. No, go be a light in a room full of no lights.
Be a light where there is no light. He was great to talk to. All right, so like I said, I want to talk to Andrew in New York, who has something to say about the WHO, which I did ask Sheriff Mark Lamb about. So what you got for me, Andrew?
Hi, Christy, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I was about, I guess, WHO and just like the pandemic and I guess how it ties into the garbage reset and all that. But I think that at the end of the month, they're going to have like this meeting where they have all these countries sign on to it. But they don't have, like Alex had a guest on like a couple days ago, and he said that they don't have the authorization to do it. You know, just like they don't have like the authorization to do any of basically the so-called precautions, which are basically all unhealthy and totally backfired, you know?
Well, there's no question that they're trying to get us to turn over our sovereignty, but it was comforting to talk to someone that does care about the rule of law, someone like Sheriff Mark Lamb, who says he believes that if there was such a bold action and if things were happening that would be in direct violation of our Constitution, he believes that true military members that want to honor their oath of protecting the Constitution and other people like other sheriffs and police officers would, in the worst case scenario, step up. Do you have any confidence of that?
I think we definitely gotta defeat the garbage reset. Yeah, like, I think we're definitely gonna completely go back to normal and the whole Agenda 2030 stuff isn't gonna happen, you know? Like, it's ridiculous. Like, WHO, you know, it's not even like a health organization is supposedly like an environmental organization.
Right, it's crazy. And I mean, even the WHO has been not even on the same page in some ways with what our federal agencies were trying to do. Like, I believe it was them that actually said not to use their remdesivir, and then we didn't even listen to them with that. So it's all a mess. But we do need to make sure people are at least aware that they're trying to do this and be ready to protect ourselves and the Constitution and our sovereignty.
You know, Tedros isn't even a doctor.
Yeah, Tedros is on a power trip, yep.
Director of it, yeah.
He definitely wants to take over. I mean, we've talked to Dr. Bregan about that, who says that Tedros is just on this power trip and he wants to be in power, but obviously can't be trusted. But thanks for bringing it up, Andrew, and thanks for your phone call. I want to try and get to some of these others. Let's talk to AR in Colorado. AR in Colorado, you wanted to remark about the 2,000 mules. I know I was being a big pessimist about that. Like, what's it matter? Where do you stand with all that?
I actually was the same, and my first message would be to watch it. $30 is worth it. I got lucky. My grandparents bought it. We went over for dinner, and they asked if I wanted to watch it. And I was the same way. I was like, really? If they would just release it, maybe. But it's worth it. 100% worth it.
You thought it was worth the $30?
I'm going to purchase it, my own copy, just to have at home, even yeah. though my grandparents already let me watch it. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely thought it was very well done. I was disappointed, obviously, reading the fact check articles, and they just kept on referring to, like, the trailer. So it's like they didn't even watch the full documentary. They didn't talk about the video evidence at all. It was insane. I just can't believe. But that's what's so frustrating is because that's what made me not even want to watch it, is because I'm like, okay, this is going to convince me even further what a crock this whole thing was, and what good is it going to do? Because we're not really seeing any action. But maybe I'm just being too much of a pessimist. I don't know.
I also think that maybe that in some subtle way, Trump trying to show how in 2016 they tried. They didn't expect him to bring out what he did, and then 2020 they just went all out, and I don't think that they'll stop now necessarily. But I mean, this is coming from someone who, like the caller earlier, I don't necessarily think I'll vote for him yet. I don't know. But I do think that maybe he's trying to show the American people with his backing of it that, I mean, if they could do that with 24 ballot drops in one 24-hour period, then if you actually looked at, I mean, even 5 ballot drops in one day, who does that? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's what was so just completely laughable and ridiculous, is these fact-checking articles saying it's perfectly legal for a family member or a designated person to drop it off. And it's like, but that's not what this documentary is contesting. This documentary is showing not only the geo-tracking that you used for the January 6ers and CDC and everything else, but it's also showing video evidence of them wearing gloves and taking pictures of the ballot box. They didn't address that at all, you know, and that's the video evidence they say that they need all the time, and they didn't even address it.
I would completely agree. Did you by chance watch the one, the special broadcast with Steve Schultz and Robin Bullock and Roger Stone?
I haven't seen that, what we were talking about.
It was just posted this morning on Gandot Video.
I need to catch up.
I understand completely. Last night, actually, we went to my grandparents for dinner, and my grandmother was adamant about me going and listening to Robin Bullock. Mm-hmm. And so this morning, I thought it was kind of funny that he was one of the first things posted, probably, I don't know, a couple hours into my day, and I had just popped on. And so I just sat and I listened to it. And I'm really intrigued by what they were saying in there. And if anyone else has watched it, it's wild. It's very spiritual. But
awesome. I mean, well, I will definitely watch that. Probably listen to them.
They basically go over how there's a portal over the White House right now. And it's pretty crazy. I don't know. It reminds me a lot of when you first came on, I think it was one of your first couple shows, and you brought up Matthew 24. And I had just come across that again in my life, and it was really raining hard in my life, and you brought it up, and ever since then, man, all I can think about is just that verse, 1 through 16 in specific, but I don't know, I would be very intrigued to hear your thoughts on that and other people's on the Robin Bullock, Roger Stone. It was good.
Awesome. All right. Well, I'm gonna have to catch up, and then we'll have to chat again when I'm back in the seat. Thank you for your phone call. Gonna get to some others now that have been waiting. Andrew in Georgia. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
There's a friend of the InfoWars family, Mike Adams.
I love
the
Mike
House
Adams.
Ranger.
Probably too
so
much. Other producers say, like, you love him too much. But go ahead. What about him?
Oh, I feel you. Yeah, I'm going to give a plug to him, but of course I'm not just going to plug him. I got to plug you guys. If you haven't checked out the X2 plus Super 12, you might want to do that. But Mike Adams has the Health Ranger has these free audiobooks, one of which is a must-listen, Resilient Prepping. I would highly recommend everyone listen to that, as well as Ghost World. You like, they're great audio listens. Thanks for taking my call.
Awesome. Thank you for the pitch. Mike Adams is a friend of the show, and I'm working on making him my friend personally. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just playing this like creepiness too much. All right, let's take another phone call. Ben from Tennessee. Ben, you're on the air.
Thank you, Christy. I was just wanting to comment about the open borders.
Okay.
I think that it might be a possibility that they are leaving these borders open, so that way that when things get bad, they can defect down south and leave us to deal with the aftermath, like a nuclear fallout.
So that they can do what with them?
That they can defect down south and leave us to deal with the aftermath of like a nuclear fallout.
Oh, I understand. Oh, man. Who knows? I mean, there's multiple reasons that they're doing it. The biggest overarching reason seems to be just an intentional destruction of our country. I mean, because there's some people that say it's to, you know, sway the elections and all of that. But I mean, at the end of the day, it's just we have no borders. We're having fentanyl come in. People are dying from that. I mean, there's just so many things that ultimately the common reason is that it's just destroying us from every angle. It's insane.
Yeah.
But sure, that could be another thing that is a reason for why this is happening.
Yeah, because if those countries are empty, they won't have much of a fight going in there, will they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess not. Thank you for your call, Ben. Let's go to Frank in Montana. Frank?
Unless you missed, I was reporting to Robert Lapkus for Trump lost, and everybody on board with this, everybody pay attention, follow this, research it. The greatest threat to our country right now are hackers. In the city, in Nevada down there, they have a DEFCON and black hat. They train cyber criminals every year in a class called Voting Village. And what they do is they're deployed all over the country. They're the ones that get the jobs in key places setting up voting systems. We've talked to them. We've been reported to the FBI, but the low-level FBI aren't doing jack because they're working for Obama.
How have you talked to them? Like, what connection do you have?
Well, we went down to Nevada several times and personally have been digging, researching a giant file on this. Here's the simple thing. Go to DEFCON Black Hat, and we can see that the Voting Village class, they train cyber criminals to hack voting systems, even children. Let's submit some evidence here. Like if you go to YouTube right now, you hear Jake Braun. Jake Braun is connected with the Davos Group and Bill Gates, and they've been training cyber criminals for years, for 20 years. Jeff Moss and Jake Braun have been training cyber criminals. Now, right now, just you know, everybody's doubting, but listen to me. Right now, people setting up voting systems are cyber criminals and DEFCON hackers. So the greatest threat to our country is the data hacking that's going to happen. Their actual assignment, they brag about it. But at the end of the night, they offload the data. Then they delete the original system. It's all on Secretary of State's protocols. It's like at the end of the night, you offload the data, you delete all the voting machines, all the computers, and put it on the truck, and there's nothing there. So we have to have an emergency data security protocol in all of America, like right now, because DEFCON Black Hat hackers hacked the 2020 election. Jake Braun was hired by Joe Biden, and so was Jeff Moss. Ever since Obama first got in, I've been watching this for over 10 years, and we've been into it 100%. They literally hack and control the data. So the greatest threat to America right now is the cyber criminals. So what?
So you think that the only reason that Trump was able to get past the hacking and the cheating and all that in 2016 was because they underestimated his popularity?
Yes, ma'am, but there's two key factors. Like, let's submit this for DNI and FBI, any of the good guys. You listen and do this now. Waldep Singh, let's submit an evidence here. Waldep, WALDEPSINGH, Waldep Singh is a 20-year sales veteran for Dominion voting systems. Now, during 2016, Georgia didn't have Dominion like they do now, and neither did a couple of other states. And what it is that Waldep Singh will testify. He will testify. He already said it in the East Coast that if somebody asked him to testify, he will tell the truth that at the precinct level, the hackers their actual gig. They walk in there they got necklaces and zip drives, computers. At the end of the night, they run to the machines, they alter the data, they delete everything, send up fake numbers to the central server. Now, Waldrip Singh is 20 years, like I said, 20 years sales for Dominion Voting System. Now, Brad Rastenberger, I got a buddy in George that challenged him. He told him you're paying $20,000 if you can take a polygraph and answer one question. Brad, did you get paid? Rastenberger and Kemp got greased. They bought $100 million. Listen to me. After 2016, they bought a $100 million voting system, and they got greased. And I got friends in the Hungarian intelligence community. It's 100% fact that Secretary of State in America have been paid off, many of them, to just turn their back. Mm-hmm. And now we need to just forget all this civil crap. We need to put a polygraph on these Secretary of State and check their assets because they got greedy. Now, right now, the main thing we got to worry about is that the hackers are in place and they're going to be altering the data. We need to have a powerful security protocol. For example, right now in the state of Nevada, the job of a person who sets up a voting machine is to delete everything at the end of the night and send up the system. So that's what they're going to burn us, even though we're using mail-out ballots. The point is, who counts the mail-out ballots? It all ends up on a computer. So we need to have a massive cyber security protocol. A friend of mine reported this to Grinnell a long time ago, and Lack's office in position down there, and Grinnell didn't do nothing. He used to be with the DNI. Anyway, point is, that's critical. And also in Nevada, Las Vegas, you guys got to do a deep dive on the Switch Company. The Switch Company, Rob Roy just sold it for several $1 billion. My grandfather was in the mining industry. Point is, the Switch Company is the metadata of, it's like the NSA for the globalists. The Chi-Coms, Soros, Obama, all the rats own stock in the Switch Company. Now, the Switch Company is what they, Rob Roy's got about 500 patents on artificial intelligence. All of the high-tech artificial intelligence and cybersecurity protocols are stored in the Switch Company. He sold out at the last minute because military intelligence is working on it. Point is, Las Vegas, Nevada is the center of the globalist NSA-type data system. Now, what we got to do in all the states, everybody listening in Arizona, everywhere, what you want to do is secure the data to the nth degree. All the precincts need this, a camera.
So we got to put the pressure on. Hey, we are running out of time. I have to let you go, but make sure that you get on your representatives. Make sure that this is so important. We are running out of time to make sure that we can ever have a secure election again. Thank you for those that called today. Thank you for letting me pop in this chair. I really appreciate it. Get your shirts so we can recognize each other out there, support each other, and make sure, I'm just going to say, stay in the word. There's a strong delusion to believe a lie. The heart is deceitful above all things. Make sure you know the truth.
Of Amish that were in there. And they all just grabbed it, and it was just the strength of their collective work. And I said to Karen, I said, and now, if that isn't a picture of humanity cooperating together, and that's what's so beautiful about what they do. Their community, so tight-knit, and they have built it on their understanding of their relationship with Christ. And they really have each other's backs. And it really is a good thing. So I'm glad they're voting. And I think that they're wise enough to vote not for the Davos globalists, the Trump-endorsed Davos globalists. Do you really think that Trump is with you? Do you really still think? That's the point of a lot of this. But I also want to talk about what's happening with Turks. A Turkish government is, and I've been in the thick of this, along with Mark Hall. I interviewed him many times about his documentary, Killing Ed, Killing Education. And the worst case scenario of charter schools is what's happened here in Texas with the Fethullah Gulen organization. They have, and I don't know what the total is now. I mean, it's just skyrocketing in the U.S. and they're getting tremendous amounts of American money to run these charter schools. But several years ago, when I started talking about this, when it was just getting started, that time, the Gulenists had over 1,000 schools around the world, and they were just getting started in the U.S. And around the world, their schools were religious schools. They were madrasas, teaching the particular form of Islam that Fethullah Gulen is the cult leader of. And he was very big in Turkey, and at one point in time, he and Erdogan were allied together. Erdogan, who had begun as a secular leader, and Turkey had been secular, made a move as he saw, you know, the mood changing in Turkey. He made a move to bring in Islam more into what he was doing. And there developed a competition between Fethullah Gulen and Erdogan. And I don't know if it was a, you know, it was a political rivalry, religious rivalry, the typical type of thing that we would see throughout the Middle Ages in Christian communities, where as you start to mix religion with government, then, you know, these different people will attack each other over a religious basis, but it really is over their political differences, that type of thing. But Fethullah Gulen had a tremendous number of people that were loyal to him, that were in positions in the military, the police, and the judiciary, and other places like that, points of control. And so Erdogan was coming against him. He fled to the United States. You had some politicians say, we don't want this radical cleric here in the United States. But the CIA wrote a letter saying that we want him to stay here. And they allowed Fethullah Gulen to stay. As a matter of fact, he set up a place in Pennsylvania where this election is being held. He's got a big camp there in Pennsylvania with armed guards and the rest of this stuff. It's a compound. And what has been happening in other schools have been investigated by the FBI for irregularities in terms of construction contracts and other things that they were doing. But also, as whistleblowers came forward in the movie Killing Ed, people who had taught there said, they're bringing in teachers from Turkey and they're putting them into situations in terms of math and science where they don't really have a background, and they're paying them a tremendous amount of money. And of course, this is subsidized by taxpayers. And they're paying them way more than they're paying American teachers, because these Turkish teachers who are not really qualified are kicking back money to the Gulenist organization. And so it's very concerning to see what is happening with that. As I started reporting on it, there was a lawsuit that launched a few years ago. It was a lawsuit that was launched in London by a lawyer who was allied with the Erdogan government against Fethullah Gulen. And I covered that at the time, and it was something that really wasn't picked up by the American press, but I covered it. An interesting thing happened within about a week after I covered that. We had our site at InfoWars hijacked. And they put up an article that said it was from me, had my name on it. Now, I did write a few articles at InfoWars, but it was rare and far between that I put an article up. But they put an article up after I had attacked Gulen. An article went up. And it said that the Gulenists had risen up and that Erdogan had to flee a coup that was being led by Gulenists. And it had my name on it. And all of a sudden, you know, everybody starts going, what is going on? Where did you get this information? I was like, well, I hadn't written it. Somebody had hacked in. And that happened a few months before there actually was a pushback by Erdogan against the Gulenists, which was very brutal. As a matter of fact, neither one of these guys are good guys. I'm not a supporter of either one of them. That's why it concerns me to see people who are supporters of them getting very much involved in politics. And as the national news points out, the diaspora Turks are the new darlings of the American right. You see, it's not just Dr. Oz, but it's also an NBA player by the name of Enes Kanter, who became an American citizen, unlike Oz. Just recently, he became an American citizen, and he changed his name, his last name, to Freedom. So he's now Enes Freedom. And he has been on with Tucker Carlson and other people who don't really understand his connection to Fethullah Gulen, or don't understand Fethullah Gulen and what he is about in this country. He is a prominent member
of the movement led by exiled Turkish cleric Fethullah Gulen. A few weeks after the coup that happened in, well, they say it was a coup, whether it was a coup or whether it was Erdogan making a preemptive move against the Gulenists, we don't know. But a few weeks after the coup, the night of which Enes, Freedom, spent the night at Gulen's Pennsylvania compound, Cantor vowed to change his name to Gulen, saying that he would be willing to die for the Islamist leader and his movement. As many as 100,000 Gulenists fled Turkey after the government labeled the movement a terror group and embarked on a series of purges. Many found a new calling in the West, launching news outlets and rights initiatives, including the Stockholm Center for Freedom, Human Rights Defenders, and the Nordic Research and Monitoring Network, to name a few. These centers are highlighting the abuses, civil rights abuses, in Turkey by Erdogan, the guy who Oz is allied with. Evidence suggests that Gulenists were indeed among those who led the failed coup, which bombed the Turkish parliament and killed more than 300 people. From 2006 to 2012, for instance, Gulenist judges and prosecutors are widely thought to have manufactured evidence, rubber-stamped questionable charges, and lengthy trials that ended military tutelage and consolidated the political power of Erdogan. Turkey's purges and alleged abuses against Gulenists are troubling and worthy of investigation. And one of the reasons that Cantor has received such a warm welcome, Enes Cantor, Enes Freedom, Enes Gulen, whichever one of the names he wants to choose. Cantor was his original name. One of the reasons that Cantor has received such a warm welcome in Washington is that many U.S. officials share his distaste for Turkey's current leader, Erdogan, friend of Dr. Oz. Yet those officials would also be wise to question the human rights advocacy of a man who is aligned with a movement that for years endeavored to erode the integrity of Turkey's democratic institutions. That's right. In other words, these abuses against the Gulenists are bad, but they're not heroes either. On the day that Cantor changed his name to Freedom, his fellow Turkish-American, Dr. Mehmet Oz, TV personality and prominent surgeon, launched his campaign for a U.S. Senate seat in, of all states, Mr. Gulen's adopted home state of Pennsylvania. Isn't that interesting? On the very same day that Enes changed his name to Freedom, Mehmet Oz decides he's going to run for Senate. The 61-year-old Dr. Oz stepped in the Republican vacuum left by the withdrawal of a Trump-endorsed candidate who halted his campaign and accusation amid accusations of domestic abuse. Trump had appeared on Oz's show in 2016. You see, Trump's loyalty is to the people who can help him. And if they don't help him anymore, he kicks them to the, under the curb. Kicks them to the curb. So, you know, Oz helped him in 2016. He's a celebrity, you know. Morgan, or who was the Tennessee carpetbagger, you know, a model, you know, beautiful model that could help Trump. He has absolutely no principles. None whatsoever. None. And he's not about America first. He's about Trump. Trump. And this whole... everything that is happening right now in the Republican Party in these primaries, the cheerleading of Trump by Breitbart News over his endorsements and everything, this is not about making America great again. This is about making Trump president again. That's what it's about. That's their agenda. They don't care about making America great. America was great, much greater, before Trump locked us down and told us we were non-essential, whether it's churches or Main Street businesses or ordinary working people. America was far greater before Trump than after Trump. But we got to make America Trump again. The son of a Turkish-born surgeon, Oz graduated from Ivy League schools. He invented a heart device that has saved many lives and has served for decades as a professor and lead surgeon at Columbia University. His Dr. Oz show has won 2 Emmys. But most importantly, he helped Trump in 2016. And under other circumstances, I mean, he wasn't bad during the pandemic Perhaps there are some cases where he cheered what was happening there. He has not been consistent in that, just as he hasn't been consistent in other things, but he did say some good things. For instance, early in 2020, he was telling Americans to treat COVID with hydroxychloroquine. He'd call for the reopening of schools, and he said a likely 2-3% increase in mortality is an acceptable trade-off. Again, he bought into the pandemic stuff, but he was still saying we can't be locked down.